We thank thee for the revelation of the truth in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came into this world to show us the will of God, and could say to us, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. We thank thee for it. We pray now as we study that thou wilt by thy Holy Spirit take the things of Christ and show them unto us. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen. Our study continues in the book of Matthew in chapter 23. We have noted in this chapter so far that the Lord Jesus had some very definite things to say about the judgment of the scribes and Pharisees who sat in Moses' seat, who taught what the scriptures had to say, but who did not personally obey these things. And the Lord Jesus repudiated them and warned his disciples against doing the way those folks did. He told them to observe what those people required, but to do it honestly and sincerely, that they might be accepted before God, and told them to be very careful never to feel that they were in themselves anything extra, that they should never call themselves masters or think they were better than other people, and reminded them that if they would abase themselves, they should be exalted. And now we come in chapter 23 to a section beginning with verse 13. And here is a section of Scripture that is famous in its way, because it is spoken of as the rebuke or the denunciation of the Pharisees. And of all the many things that are said about the Lord Jesus Christ, in which he was so gracious, there is also brought before us the fact that he could be so honest and so stern in dealing with certain people. And here he deals with the scribes and Pharisees in this fashion. Many of us will properly feel that these remarks are not specially aimed at us, because we may not have had an opportunity of doing the things the scribes and Pharisees did, and yet we can learn some sober things and healthy things here as we read. I want to read to you, beginning in chapter 23, at verse 13, and as we read along, I will comment and draw your attention to the things which the Lord Jesus said. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now let us look at these words just till we get used to them. The word woe, just what the word implies. And by the way, for your own thinking, it's just the opposite of the word blessed. You know, you can speak of the word blessed as being a word that implies you are rich and you're happy and you're fortunate. Well, so the word woe means you're poor, and you're in distress, and you're unfortunate, because you're really going to be in trouble. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now you will remember that the scribes are the educated students of the Old Testament scriptures, the people who were expert in the scriptures. And Pharisees, they were the people who were deliberately orthodox in their conduct and life. They were the guardians of what they thought was the truth of the letter of the law. They went by the scriptures, just by the Bible, word for word, and they were experts in it and tried to keep it, but depended on their own righteousness to get it done. And then he makes this comment about them in verse 13. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Now, when he speaks of them shutting up the kingdom of heaven against men, the conduct of these scribes and Pharisees was such that it actually hindered people coming into relationship with God. He goes on to say, you neither go in yourselves, you don't go in yourselves, you do not personally come to God, but you act in such a way that you keep other people out. You fix it up in such a way that no one will go in. You don't go in, but you don't let them go in either. And this is something that Almighty God is dissatisfied about. In fact, they're going to have trouble about it. Now in verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now the word hypocrite, let me mention to you, means two-faced. You use the word two-faced. Actually, the old word would have the idea in it of a man with a mask on his face. And you've seen children running around with masks on their face, and their faces are one thing, but the mask is something else. Now, people can wear masks that are nice, and that's what the Pharisees did, but it wasn't themselves. They put on an outward form, but it wasn't really what they had from the heart. It refers to insincere pretenders. That's really what they were. Now, in verse 14, he says about them that they devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. So nearly as I can tell, this devouring widows' houses would simply mean that they take gifts from the poor. The widow would be the poor, and they devouring them, eating up what the poor woman's got. They take gifts from the poor, and for a pretense, to keep up the act, to act as if they were really religious people, they make long prayer. Therefore they shall receive the greater damnation. Damnation not only because they didn't trust in the Lord, but greater because they acted as if they did, and encouraged other people to put their confidence in them as if they did, and that would be something that Almighty God would hold against them. In verse 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Indicating that these people are very active about getting people to join them, about recruiting people in their party. "You compass sea and land to make one proselyte." But when they did get this person in, it would turn out that that man would be more superficial than they were. "You make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves." Now in verse 16, "Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." These were people who were going to guide others in their understanding. They were people who set themselves up as experts in interpretation. But their interpretations were based on fine distinctions, on some subtle way of handling things, and it just wasn't true. They developed fine distinctions in their interpretation, but the truth in the matter, the real, basic, common sense truth, they didn't pay any attention to that. And after all, that's all God cared about. When they would say to a man, if he swore by the temple, well, that was all right, but if there was gold in the temple, then he was really responsible. Well, now, that doesn't make sense. The Lord Jesus said, which is the greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And so on. He finally goes on to say that whosoever, therefore, shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. Whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Which is a way of saying, the fine distinctions don't matter. It's the big things, the important things that count. And these people who intimated to them that they could have a special way of coming to God if they went in according to these little rules and regulations were actually blind people and did not help the folks who were coming at all. Now in verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise," or anise and cumin, "and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Here were people who had a lot of little rules about a lot of little things, but the big things they just let go by. They made a big to-do about the small regulations around the church, but and about their religious meeting place, but the big things they just let go by without any special effort. Judgment, mercy, and faith was far more important than the others. So in verse 24 we read, "You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow at a camel." No real sense of proportion. And that brings an interesting thing to us in the matter of serving the Lord. When you and I go to serve the Lord, we should remember to use our good sense and to keep in mind that the Lord expects us to do that, would really want us to do that. In verse 25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." And then he has this word to say, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, and the outside may be clean also." Here again you have that feeling that it was an outward act that they were concerned about, and they let the inward condition actually go. The Lord Jesus saw that, and it comes out in verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. The way in which you might have a mausoleum or some elaborate burial place in a cemetery. The outside looks real impressive, but inwardly it's full of dead men's bones. And he said that's the way these Pharisees were. Outwardly they looked just fine, but inwardly they weren't right with God. Then he goes on to say in verse 29, you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, which is a way of saying they've made out that they were great believers in the prophets. These were people who would read the prophets and quote the prophets and preach from the prophets and pretended they were great believers in the prophets and garnished the sepulchres of the righteous. They had all kinds of good things to say about the good men who were dead. But of the people living nowadays, they didn't put any confidence in them. And you say if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. We wouldn't have rejected the prophets. But the Lord Jesus goes on to say, you're witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? This is a very stern indictment. I have hurried through it because I wanted to get it all before us at one time. This would indicate that the Lord Jesus watches me when I come into the public service of God. And if I'm putting on an act or a show of any kind, he doesn't like it. He wants me to be sincere. He wants me to be honest. He wants me to come before him truly. And if I will come with a humble and a contrite heart, he will receive me. But the proud he will despise. This is the Lord's indictment against all pretense in religious activities. Our God and Heavenly Father, keep us honest with thee. Help us to be sincere. If we're honest, we know we're sinners, and we confess it before thee. But we pray that thou wilt help us simply and sincerely to trust in thee and to look to thee for our salvation. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.